Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Right Stream Radio Network, rejoicing in the flow of creativity. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at @RightStream and hashtag #RightStream. Thanks for listening to the Right Stream Radio Network.
Everybody, it's Wednesday, it's Christmas Day, and Family Power Hour with attorney Sheena Benjamin-Wise and Dr. Billy Eisenberg want to wish you a Merry Christmas and Happy Day and Happy Holiday. Today, you can listen again to Dario Giovanni, independent artist, social media professional, and fan of RightStream Radio Networking. And again, let me wish you a very, very happy holiday and Merry Christmas.
Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Right Stream Radio Network, rejoicing in the flow of creativity. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at @RightStream and hashtag #RightStream. Thanks for listening to the Right Stream Radio Network.
Another beautiful South Florida evening here, and this is the Family Power Hour. I am Sheena Benjamin-Wise here with my co-host,
Dr. Billy Eisenberg, and we have a special guest today.
Hi, everybody. It's Daria DiGiovanni. Yes. Great to be here. I'm really excited.
Yeah, but you need to know that. Sheena, go ahead.
We are really excited tonight about our show. Tonight we're going to have a expose and talk about her new book, Daria's new book. We're going to talk about publishing and social media. But once again, I'm going to let you know this is a talk show. It's not an advice show. We are here to share about experiences, have questions, and really discuss the experiences that we all have.
We're talking about divorce, trauma, pain, parenthood, alimony, and money, and all the good stuff in life. And again, I'm Dr. Billy Eisenberg, and Sheena
Benjamin-Wise,
family law. And it's a beautiful day in this Florida. But we need to mention this week about Nelson Mandela.
So yeah, we want to acknowledge. Yeah. This week has been really a lot of media about the life and times of a man who's made a big difference in a lot of different people's lives, and he goes by the name of Nelson Mandela. I know a lot of the world, half of the world, if not all of the world, is looking toward that part of the world as they recognized him, commemorated him yesterday with all world leaders. I believe it's the biggest congregation of world leaders.
Ever, yeah.
Yeah, so
it was so amazing because it was, people were singing. People were, you know, everybody was very mourning about his loss, but he was 95, but he was listening and all over the world was there. And I think we need to remember because he was the first pioneer that even President Obama said, he's the reason I'm here, the President of the United States.
And it's just such a blessing to be able to live life to that age. What a blessing to be able to see so much and share so much of yourself in this world. And
yeah, but don't forget, he was so many years in jail. So even from the...
How could I forget that?
No. But yes, I mean, he was really, was remarkable, and he was, as I said, a pioneer for everybody. And you know, people like him just give us the freedom to go for to bring another generation just to feel to live as a free people.
Yeah.
So let's all of us have a memory from Nelson Mandela. And as we say that, we have a guest today. Daria, can you introduce yourself, please?
Hi, everyone. This is Daria. I go by Daria Ann sometimes on the network. I'm the founder of RightStream Radio Network, and I'm really happy, thrilled to be here tonight.
Awesome. Now, we are happy to be here, too, with you. Remember, callers, we invite you to call in. Please call in to our number. It's 347-945-7246. You can chat with us online as well. If you go to the website, blogtalkradio.com, you can send us emails at sbwise@wiselawoffice.com or at Billy's office email. Go ahead.
drbeisenberg@gmail.com. And go to our Facebook, Family Power Hour. You have all the information, all the archive. You can listen, and you can have, it's fun, you know. You can listen for all the episodes with the archive. And again, call us 347-945-7246. And Daria, tell us who you are.
Who am I? Well, I'm an independent author. I'm a ghostwriter, blogger, social media professional, and I founded RightStream, the RightStream Radio Network, in March of this year, actually. But I've been doing blog talk radio and social media since 2008, which is when I self-published my book.
So tell us about your book.
It's been a great experience.
Yeah.
Well, my book is called Water Signs, A Story of Love and Renewal. And you know what? It's so funny. I haven't talked about my book in so long. You know, it's kind of like... The first 2 years after you write a book, you do nothing but talk about it, and then you kind of, like, take a break. And so it's been a while, but it's a loosely autobiographical story.
2008.
2008 in September. And kind of an interesting story with this. It's based on real events in my life, but it's definitely fiction. I mean, I took – and that was actually the fun part of it, was taking real-life events and creating fictional characters out of real people and embellishing some situations. I mean, overall, there are grains of truth in the book. I mean, there are real events that have happened, including my experience with panic and anxiety disorder. But it was fun really kind of creating
the
narrative.
Yeah, this is the reason you even started to write the book.
Well, actually, the reason I wrote the book, and this is kind of, it's all tied in with how it came about, I relocated to Florida in 1994 for a relationship. And when I got here, found out that that relationship, that person was actually engaged to another woman.
Mm.
And it was really devastating at the time. And, Bill, you're a psychologist, so you might appreciate this. I really didn't allow myself to really cry about it. I just went right into an anger stage. And looking back, I think I wish I had cried on somebody's shoulder because I had plenty of family that would have listened to me. But I just decided, you know what? I just kind of dug in my heels and I said, this is a beautiful area, South Florida, and why should he get to live here and not me? And I had the title in my mind back then in 1994, Water Signs, because, and there's a lot of reasons for that. I'm a Pisces. The guy in question was is a water sign, but also water is very healing and it's renew. You know, it's spiritually it's a symbol of renewal and rebirth. And also because when I went through panic and anxiety disorder, the only time I actually felt good was when I was in water, whether I was swimming in the ocean, in a pool, in the shower. It just, there's something about water. So there's a lot of reasons for the title, but at the time that all of this went down, I kind of sealed this guy off in a vault in my head, and almost the whole experience, it's like I forced myself to have amnesia about the whole thing.
Mm.
And then fast forward to the beginning of 2008, and a friend of mine who's very perceptive and she's very intuitive looked at me and she said, who is, and she named this person, his name is Ken in the book, the fictional character's name is Ken. And she actually named his name. And I said, what are you talking about? Because I had gotten myself to a point where I literally forced myself to have amnesia. And anyway,
oh,
but
wow.
Her, like...
just like you completely forgot about him. You erased him from your memory.
Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting.
Isn't it weird?
Yeah.
It was kind of like, I think it was a self-preservation survival
yeah.
thing.
Mm-hmm.
Which is good, but at the same time, I think it contributed to the anxiety that I went through. But when this woman saw all this, it's like she pulled it out of my subconscious mind. And so that kind of opened the floodgate.
But this is the first time you have an anxiety attack, or you used to have an
anxiety
attack?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
No, those
yeah.
I had back in the 90s. It was
yeah.
actually before,
yeah.
during, and after this happened with this gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
But and it's an interesting story how that was resolved. But just to finish that off, I sat down to write the book in, because that was January. She opened the floodgates, and then I was being bombarded with memories. And then I pulled out my journal, because I was always a journal writer. So I had tons of journals.
Oh, wow.
And that was great because I was able to fill in a lot of details that I couldn't remember. But anyway, I wrote the book in 4 months. I mean, the book literally, I couldn't stop myself from typing once I sat down. And I had a full-time corporate job at the time. I'd come home at night, hours on the computer, so it was time to go to bed, all weekend long. I started in March of that year, and I finished at the end of June. It was amazing. It was like it was divinely inspired. I just couldn't, like, stop writing.
So before you wrote the book, did you consider yourself a writer, author type person?
Yeah, I actually did, because I always worked in, like, corporate communications and marketing
mm-hmm.
in my corporate life. And from the time I was little, I used to tell anybody that would listen that I was going to be a writer. I was going to be a novelist.
So a fulfilled dream.
Yeah. And you know, funny, on a side note, I used to write feature articles as a volunteer for the Happy Times Monthly. It's now called the Happy Herald. But back in the day, that's how I kind of started working on my writing portfolio before blogs came along, which is
great.
Nice, so whatever I was doing full-time, I used to write for them part-time just to get, you know, on my own, just to get a little portfolio together.
Oh, right.
Now we don't have to carry those.
You said your book is about relationships.
Really?
Jenny.
How to call it.
Yeah, but let's just ask the question. You said that the book, it's a book about relationships.
Mm-hmm.
So it's relationship with your family, it's relationship
mm-hmm.
with your family is not living here in South Florida.
No.
Yeah. So what you said about relationships?
It's about, I would think most importantly it's about your relationship that you have with yourself and learning how strong you can be. And having that experience, because I'm from a very close family, and I thank God every day for my upbringing. The other side of that, though, is that I felt like I started to see this person, as painful as it was, as a catalyst for making me, kind of forcing me to kind of get away from that comfort zone and really kind of branching out on my own and creating my own network of contacts and friends and making my own way in the world without somebody knowing, oh, you're Dr. DiGiovanni's daughter, or you're, not that there's anything wrong with that, but I felt like I really needed that opportunity to kind of get away from that environment and sort of like strike out on my own and just see what I could do, you know?
So when you're looking back after you wrote a book, what you learn about yourself? I mean, does it change the way you look at yourself, irrespective of how you see life?
Yeah, I've learned how strong that you can become under very difficult circumstances. When you tap into sort of that will and determination, like, I'm going to go on in spite of all this, like, yes, this is very painful. Like I said, the one thing I also learned is that you do need to allow yourself to cry and to be vulnerable, too. So I looking back,
grieve,
I think,
yeah.
to grieve,
yeah.
exactly.
With 5 stages to grieving, you
yeah.
know, and 10
yeah.
times down to grief, and it's okay.
Yes, yeah, exactly. So, that, you know, and it was also been sort of a spiritual journey for me, too, just being exposed to things that I probably wouldn't have been exposed to if I had stayed in Pennsylvania. So
when you're looking back, if you'd be able to change something in your book, what you know now, you
yeah.
know then. Can you change something?
You know what? I don't think I would change anything. I mean, I might go back and edit it. I have to, and I probably will do that and come out with like a new edition, because certainly there's always room for improvement. You know, maybe I would, from the writing standpoint. But I think in terms of what's included in the book, I'm pretty happy with it. I mean, definitely the ending is fiction. And one of the things that I decided to do and kind of challenge my ability as a writer was to really start the book with a prologue that tells the reader exactly how things end up.
Mm.
So then that kind of puts the burden on you as a writer. You have to create an interesting story because now you've already given away the ending.
Right.
So now what's going to compel somebody to read?
Talk about
so,
one of that because
yeah.
I want to sign something. But Sheena wants to write a book. What do we need to do?
Well,
yeah.
Okay. So you want to write a book.
Yeah.
Well, I do ghostwriting.
We don't know what
people.
The topic, but we're going to write a book. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I do. I've ghostwritten, let's see, I had a book come out on November 22nd called Reflections on the Ring, An Ordinary Woman's Extraordinary Tale of How She Saved Her Marriage and Family, and that was by Lori Colombo Dunham, a client who also happens to be a friend of mine. I'm currently working on one with...
Well, how can you get that book if somebody was interested in getting that book?
Thanks, Sheena. I'm so glad you asked that. She's on the phone.
We are interested.
You can go to Lori's blog. It's reflectionsontheRing.wordpress.com, and you'll see a link there that says purchase the book, and it'll take you to her page on Lulu, and you can purchase it. But in terms of, you know, somebody coming to me and they say, okay, I have this concept and I want to write a book, that's why I do like a free half-hour consultation with people, because it's such a personal thing. Everyone's book is kind of like their baby, and certainly their concept is their baby. And I need to make sure, one, that I have a good rapport with the person, even if they're not a personal friend. I feel like I have to at least like them on some level and respect what they're trying to do. You know, I don't agree with every, you know, I don't think any two people agree on everything.
Right.
But it's like, as long as I can see that what they're producing is going to be something of value and that I can relate to it on most levels, because that's so important. You have to be able to get into their mind and put their words.
Yeah, but so it's got to be a good match between you and the person. Just like in my situation, a lawyer and a client, it has to be a good match between the two because you're going through this journey together.
Yep.
And if it's not a good personality connection, then you have a problem.
Exactly.
If people listen right now, and as I say, if I want to write a book, what I need to do? I mean, I don't know how to write, so, you know, and what I need, what we need to do?
Well, first you need to get a very clear understanding of what you want to write, like your concept, your plot, even if you're not literally writing the story, what you want to happen. So I would recommend outlining, even if it's a rough outline, just, okay, here's my concept, here are my themes, these are the kind of characters I envision in the story, and just have sort of like a general idea of what you want. And then consult with a ghostwriter and sit down with them and tell them about your vision, and that way you can kind of decide. And it works both ways. I mean, you need to be comfortable with the person you're hiring, too.
Right.
And so, and then once you do that and you agree, you know, and then you agree that you're going to work together, then it becomes a lot of collaboration, kind of really honing in on, okay, here's how we're going to organize the book based on the material. Here's going to be our major characters. Then you really get into sort of those more of those details.
So you have the concept. I mean, I have the concept, and you're adding the story.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We have a caller.
Okay. Yes.
Good evening. This is Family Power, and you are on the air. Yes, dear. We can hear you.
Yes. Yes. Hi. My name is Shlomo Atia.
Yeah.
I hear the echo there. Kind of fun.
You have an echo?
Yeah, echo. So, all right. But we can hear you loud and clear.
Okay, well, all I can, I think as far as writing a book, you have to know what it is, why you want to write a book for, what is it that propelled you to do that, what do you want to get out of it, and I was very fortunate to found Daria, Daria DiGiovanni, the one you're talking to right now.
She's sitting right next to us. Yeah.
Hey, Shlomo.
What?
Hi, Shlomo. I'm here.
Hi, Daria. Okay, listen, it's kind of interesting because I did talk to Daria, and I told Daria actually about yesterday, I told her how I found her after trying a few people, and it just didn't really work out. Some was professional in the book writing, some was professional in there. In any case, I think it's a combination of two things. But the most important thing is somebody that you can ideologically feel comfortable with. And even though life is not perfect, and that's how they are, with Daria I felt that she have what I was looking for. Of course, we're all awkward. We're not perfect. So, but Daria provide the most... A closer situation to my awkwardness, which was perfect.
Shlomo, let me ask you a question. What should trigger you to write, even to start to think, write a book?
Well, I have a few things. I have, first of all, I think people's knowledge is a very, very, very important thing to have. If you knowledge is the information, and then having a knowledge is having is the difference between freedom and slavery. When you have the knowledge, you have the ability to be free. You have the
knowledge
ability and the ideas. You have mm-hmm. what?
Knowledge is
knowledge.
Power.
Knowledge is a self power. Yes, it's a
mm-hmm.
self power, and self power can be very how you say sticky. It can stick to other people by expanding your knowledge, by letting people what's going on, and when you know what's going on and you know it's true, then it will get stick to other people, and then other people have it. And when and the more and more other people have, and the more and more this pool of intelligence and knowledge grow, the better it is, and eventually it will do good for everybody. That's what knowledge is all about. That's why we as human beings we have the ability and we have the desire to be free from the propaganda imposed on us by different corporations, by different groups, by different
you're
media.
Absolutely, you're absolutely right, but you didn't tell me why you decided to start to write a book.
I decided to, well, I kind of didn't have a choice. I got to tell you that. I didn't have much of a choice. I had a few things, basically two things that propelled me. I'm an engineer in my profession and working for the energy business for a long time. I saw what's going on in the energy business. And I decided to, instead of me doing a patent, I thought it would be much more logical just to publicize energy's ideas out there for everybody to read, because that's the only way for everybody to read and for everybody to have. Like that, you eliminate your personality from the bullseye, so they cannot really only aim at you. Now they have to check everybody else. This is one thing as far as energy goes, and I will talk about it a little bit later. And the other thing is, I have another very interesting experience. In 2003, I had a clinical death experience, and I think people need to know about what's going on the other side. When I
you have experience on the other side.
I have knowledge of what's going on for my limited knowledge, what's going on the other side. When I say the other side, what we call death. And, yes, I had a clinical death experience in 2003 in Memorial Hospital on Johnson and Park Road there in Hollywood City in Florida. And it didn't really change my life. It didn't change my life. It just shifted me to a different direction where I was thinking for a long time and how to do it and what to do and how to get it done. What I'm saying is there is, in this life, the way we see it, it's not really the way it is. This life, is in its essence, it's a spiritual life. It's not a material life. This life is not, even though you touch the table, you touch over there, you are in your, you touch your microphone, you touch your seat, and you sit on it, and it's not really what you think it is. And actually today I can prove it, and not only me, any physicist and scientist can prove that in its essence, it's not there. So you say, what do you mean it's not there? Yes, it's not there because in its essence, it's a spiritual life.
Shlomo, let me interrupt you, and I'm really, really sorry. First, we don't want to reveal everything because we want people going to buy your book. That's one. One quick
That's
question.
That's okay. They're going to buy your book.
One
I'm
quick
not...
question before we're going to say good night. That just brief. What do you learn about yourself doing to write the book?
I'm sorry. Say again. I didn't hear you good. I'm sorry.
I said that what you learn about yourself during the during you writing the book with Daria.
Well, I'm very fortunate and to have somebody like Daria to help me out writing a book, because she's very knowledgeable and very technical oriented. She's very professional in writing a book. So
thank you so much, Daria. Can you please Shlomo, thank you so much. Good luck with the book.
Okay.
We're always waiting to read your book, and have a very, very good evening, and thank you so much for calling.
You're welcome. Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Let me ask you a question real quickly. So do you have a launch date for this book yet? Are we close?
We're looking at, like, first quarter 2014. All yes,
right.
We're almost done. We're almost finished and with, like, the last section. And then it's going to go through some more revisions. And my goal is to have this last section finished in the next couple of weeks and then spend some time editing. So definitely first quarter of 2014.
Excellent.
Aiming for, like, the end of January. So we're in the process right now, and I know Shlomo can hear us.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Shlomo.
Shlomo, we're going to bring you back when the book comes out, and you'll talk more about it. But
of course.
Walking him through the whole self-publishing process and all that good stuff.
Go ahead. As a ghostwriter, you have this marvelous task of kind of honing in that idea. And for some people who, you know, are kind of all over the place, or others who are really intimidated, and you get to open them up and so that they can share these ideas. I think that's a fabulous thing to do for you.
It really is. It's very, very rewarding. And I love Shlomo's concept. And this project, I think, has been my most challenging one to date because the concepts are set in the future. It's not that the concepts are so much out there, but they're different, and it's getting people, they're going to make people think in a different way. And it's very spiritual. There's definitely a very spiritual aspect to the book. And it's futuristic, but yet it's also historical. I mean, I learned a lot. I mean, I had to spend hours watching documentaries and different things I found online in order to write the book. And I found, like, certain quirks about certain historical figures, like Mao. You know, he's another character in the book. And, yes, he was a horrible dictator. And he also had a hygiene problem. He didn't like to bathe. So I took that little fact and I kind of incorporated it into the student character that's descended from him 400 years into the future, and I made that a problem with the student. Like, you know, little things like that. But it is, it's really exciting. And the other night I was actually reading out loud to Shlomo the book that we had so far, and I definitely recommend that for writers too. I find that it helps me pick up editing mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
You can, when you read out loud, you can hear if everything is flowing nicely, and just to see how excited we both were that, oh my gosh, this actually sounds really good. We have a book here. It's exciting to see it come to life.
So you do the research every book.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know that you can compare the two books, but you have the book with your friend that she's talking about how she coped with the divorce. I mean,
a marriage.
Well, their marriage. She saved her marriage.
Oh,
actually.
I'm so sorry. Good.
Yeah.
So she don't need you,
I'm
Tina.
Clear.
And she definitely don't need me. Thanks for this.
Yeah.
So what you're doing, you know, you're doing this. I mean,
She
said the marriage through the writing of the book, or this is what the her therapy when, I mean, how?
Yeah, it had been weighing on our mind for a long time. The situation was, and she, like me, was raised in a very traditional Catholic family, youngest in her family, and, you know, the worst thing you could probably do as a girl is get pregnant out of wedlock, no matter how old you are,
mm-hmm.
Okay? And so, like many of us, Lori, you know, was in the dating scene and not finding the right person, and always had the dream of the big church wedding and reception. I mean, that's normal. That most women have, or, you know, many of us do. And so, part of the book was about, like, kind of letting go of that dream and realizing what's really important in life. But when she was 34, she still didn't have kids, and she said, you know, even though I'm a very traditional woman, I want to be a mother, and I'm not going to just marry somebody. You know, so she was actually thinking of adopting a child because she had a good career and all that kind of stuff. And then she met Dave, and, you know, they hadn't been together very long when she unexpectedly became pregnant, which she was thrilled about. But that ended up, that led to a sort of like a marriage ceremony in a courthouse, in a sterile courthouse, which was the antithesis of what she ever thought she would have, you know, as a younger girl. And then they struggled financially. And the book really, you know, is about how she was able to turn that around by praying for her husband. And, you know, she pulled out the old Mars and Venus book and Stormy O'Martian, The Power of a Praying Wife, and Dr. Laura, and put those principles into practice. And even when, you know, there were moments when, you know, she was so frustrated she just wanted to throw her hands up in the air and give up, she kept praying and working. And so in the end, now they have two beautiful daughters. They have a great life and a good marriage, and it's uplifting. But in that case, it really didn't require any research. I mean, it just required the two of us sitting down together. Okay, give me the timeline of events.
Right.
You know,
I imagine you sitting around a coffee table with wine and soft music in the background, and you just kind of maybe water somewhere in the back.
And it was fun. And the fun part with that too is I was around for some of the events that took place in the book. You know, because we were friends, mm-hmm. and so.
How long did it take you to write the book with her?
The book, I actually wrote the first draft in a matter of months. It wasn't very long, and then, and then the client was kind of like, Lori sort of got cold feet because she thought, oh my gosh, this is so personal. I don't think I can put this out there. She was kind of waiting for a sign, and 6 months ago when her daughter, her older daughter, who's now 11, was saying her prayers, the first thing out of her mouth was, thank you, God, for my life. And Lori said, I just lost it. I just started crying because it took me back to that moment in the doctor's office when I'm getting this news like, hey, you're pregnant. And no, she wasn't married. And, oh, my God, how am I going to tell my mother? We made that very funny, how she breaks the news to her Italian mother. And I could relate to that because that's a conversation I never want to have with my mother. So it's just that way. But we made it funny. And in the end, it's family and everybody supports each other. And it was a fun book to write. It really was.
All right. Well, callers, now, if you have any experiences that you want to call in, share, or have any questions for our special guest tonight, please call in 347-945-7246. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, Daria will tell us more about if you have the idea to a book and you get it done, how do we get it published?
And we're going to talk about it on social media.
All right.
Hi, this is Lisa Tarvis. I'm a metaphysician, board-certified holistic health practitioner, energy healer, intuitive, and the author of the book, Just Believe. I'm also a host on the RightStream Network. My radio show is called Just Believe and airs every Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern. Please stop by my website at www.lisatarvis.com. That's LISATARVES. For details on all the services I offer, information on my book, and my radio show. There are many amazing guests and fascinating topics scheduled for the show in the upcoming months. I look forward to connecting with you soon.
Tuesday afternoons at 1 o'clock Eastern on the RightStream Radio Network, tune in to host Daria Ann for RightStream Tuesday. Daria Ann interviews talented authors in a variety of literary genres, from urban fantasy and historical romance to autobiography and science fiction. RightStream Tuesday celebrates the creativity that flows through every author. It also delves into the all-important publishing and marketing aspects of writing, including the benefits and pitfalls of independent publishing versus traditional publishing, and how to effectively use social media for success. RightStream Tuesday with Daria Ann. Tuesday afternoons at 1 o'clock Eastern on the RightStream Radio Network.
All right, we're back. It's Family Power Hour, weekly show, like every Wednesday. And you can call us at 347-945-7246. I'm Dr. Billy Eisenberg, and you can reach me, 561-271-7106, and you can email me, drbeisenberg@gmail.com, and you can find us on Facebook, Family Power.
And I am Sheena Benjamin-Wise, your family attorney in Southeast Florida, and you can reach me at 954-783-9737, or you can send me an email at sbwise@wiselawoffice.com.
And you have Twitter. You have a Twitter account.
We both have Twitter. My Twitter is at sbwiselaw, and Daria, too. Daria has been, and we'll talk about this a little bit later, she's been my mentor in the social media, and so she's going to tell us a little bit more about that. But, you know, tell us how we can tweet you.
You can tweet me at Daria Ann. That's at DariaAnne.
All right.
My first name and my middle name combined.
Oh, yeah. And I don't remember my Twitter account. You know it. I still don't know how to use it. I'm sorry.
It's at Dr. Billy. It's at DrBillieE.
Yeah. All right.
Dr. Bill E.
let's know again about the book, and you have a question.
At the end of the before the break, we talked about, hey, you have this great idea, and you find somebody special just like Daria to help you write the book. So then what happens? How do you manage the ideas that now I'm going to make millions of dollars with this book? I'm going to be the next Harry Potter writer.
I am so glad you brought that up because I've run into that so many times, not just with people whose books I ghostwrite, but authors that I represent on social media.
Mm.
And, you know, and I went through this myself. Everybody thinks their book is going to, like, change the world, and it's going to sell a million copies right off the bat.
But that's the woman's story. I mean, she was a, you know, housewife,
yeah,
and she decided to put pen to paper, and look, now she's like a billionaire.
I know. It does happen.
So it is story. Yes. Maybe it's going to change
exactly
the world.
And I think that's a great attitude. I'm not suggesting – I would never take away anyone's enthusiasm. I think sometimes I just have to temper it with the reality of you're going to have to work really hard to make that happen, though. And it's not going to happen right off the bat, especially if you are an independently published author.
Mm-hmm.
We don't like to say, you know, self-publishing, the stigma has kind of gone away now because as more and more talent that is self-published gets out there in the marketplace and people realize, wow, these are really talented authors. Just because they're not represented by a major publishing house, you know, doesn't mean that they can't write. So that stigma is kind of going away, but I like to say independently published.
But it's independently published.
Yeah. So and it's freeing. We were talking about freedom earlier. I mean, it's really freeing in a way because when you decide to make that leap and independently publish your book, then you can kind of, you know, you're not bound by somebody else telling you, well, I don't like this theme, I don't like this character, don't make this happen. You're kind of free to put your work, your vision onto paper, whether you hire a ghostwriter or whether you're writing it yourself. And it's a very freeing process. But the things that you need to be aware of, I would say number one is know who your audience is. Because when it comes time, especially with social media, to promote the book, you really need to hone in on that particular demographic that's your main audience. Yeah, there's a lot of, maybe there's other people that are going to read your book too, but you know, the idea is to sell books and engage those readers who are going to be most interested in it. So like in Lori's case, for example, you know, we have, there's a lot of quotes from the Bible in there, and there's a lot of, you have to kind of focus mainly on your demographic first to get it out there and to generate interest. I also recommend that people have some type of marketing budget, even if it's small. If you don't want to do the social media yourself, then you're going to want to hire somebody to do it, because self-publishing, it's like a double-edged sword. It's a mixed blessing. Yeah, it's great. Everybody can get out there and publish, and that's also the downside. Everybody's out there publishing, so you need to be able to compete for those readers. Now, everybody's going to have different readers, obviously, based on the genre of the book and who your market is, but you need to be aware of that. And so as a writer, you should really be thinking, even before the book is finished, even before you start writing it, okay, let me set aside some money for a marketing budget, for things like a blog and for a Twitter account and for Facebook. And even if you have to limit yourself, maybe you don't have a whole lot of money, you need to limit yourself to a few platforms, definitely I recommend having a blog. I mean, that's just number one. And you can set those up for free. Same thing with the social media platforms. You can create them for free. But when you want to get into really targeting your demographic and really taking it to the next level, that's when you might want to consider hiring somebody that knows social media that can really be on there representing you. Especially if you have most writers have a full-time job, and maybe they don't have time for social media, so it's important.
Let me ask something. Today, everything is social media, everything is internet. How much place have the books have right now? I mean, in my time, people would really like to write a book and read a book. Today, everybody, you just go logging online and do everything online, or you can be driving and listen to the book as long as they're driving. So
mm-hmm.
How much, I mean, what's place
Kindle,
the book?
Yeah. People, and this is one of the things I learned in 2008. Like, me, myself, personally, I like a book. I like to turn pages. I like to write
the feel of the paper.
Exactly. I like the look of books lined up on the bookshelf. But, you know, there's a whole audience out there now. They love Nook. They like e-readers. You have to make your book available in all formats, because if you don't, then you're really going to severely limit your readership. And I understand the appeal of the Kindle. I mean, I understand the appeal of having one little device that's almost limitless, where you can download just about anything and carry this one little device with you on a plane or to the beach or wherever you're going. I don't like that personally, but yes, I recommend all my authors that I work with, they make their book available in paperback and all of those electronic formats.
My daughter, who's an avid reader, is always, and you think she's texting or she's on the phone with her friends, she's not. She's reading, constantly reading, she's reading. I have to chase her and get the phone and go to bed. And so she's reading comics. So those electronic books are like, it's the way for the future. This is what the kids are doing. This is what they're actually being taught on at school. You know, they're being taught on these electronic devices and so forth. So tell me, what about water signs? What do you have? What have you done with it to promote it and to push it out there?
Yeah.
Where do we get it?
Water signs, really, I think there are a lot of reasons for me to write the book. I think, one, it was very therapeutic for me personally. But, two, it's opened up a lot of doors for me. And that's because I had to get involved in social media. And, unfortunately, I was, like, learning as I went back then because I didn't know what I didn't know at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I figured out how to self-publish because somebody had used Lulu.com, a friend of mine, and he highly recommended it. And I learned that. I navigated myself through that process, which I now do for other people, getting the ISBN number and all that stuff. But knowing that I was self-published, I recognized that I was going to have to learn how to, I was going to have to get over my fear of using, not that I have fear, but I just kind of didn't want to put myself out there. But I have been blogging since 2004, though. So I figured, you know what, if I've been blogging, I can get on Facebook, I can get on Twitter, I'll figure out how to do this stuff. And I did a whole, through Facebook and Twitter, I was able to connect with people who had Blog Talk Radio shows. And so I just, somehow I just ended up on a series of shows talking about my book.
Wow.
And that's really how I did it. And I used my blog to post things, and I have an author page on Facebook. And one thing I've learned, too, it's not always about broadcasting. You really want to engage your readers. So even though I'm trying to promote water signs, maybe I'll post an article about online dating. It has nothing to do with water signs, but I'm the author, and it's, you know, it's posting about things that my demographic might be interested in. And so that's another thing that I always teach authors and anybody that I represent on social media. Most of what you put out there should be engagement, and like a very small percentage should be broadcasting. Because it's kind of like you're at a Chamber of Commerce meeting, and let's say, you know, you're at a business card exchange. Don't you get turned off by a person that comes up to you and says, here's my card,
right,
and here's all about me, and here's what I do. And
then they turn around.
Yeah, and then they ask you your name.
Every network is not
just exactly. Well, yes, I know.
Yeah.
But it's the same principle. Yeah. So you want to engage versus broadcast all the time.
Something I want to tell about you, I know Daria almost 11 years, so I think you have a lot of experience and social media. I remember you started to write a book 10 years ago, a blog 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm, I did.
So you have a lot of experience about social media. So let's talk about social media.
Yeah.
What is social media for you?
What is it for me? Well, I have my blog, and it's dariadigiovanni.com, actually.
Can you repeat again?
Dariadigiovanni.com is my blog. It's kind of, you know, I've had several different blogs over the years, but then a couple of years ago, I consolidated everything into that one blog, and it's where I post about, write stream for one thing, you know, books, articles, you know, I'll write little articles about, like I said, online dating, just anything that, just life experience. Again, just about all about engagement. But see, what happens is when you're blogging regularly and putting things out there, through the keywords and through the tags that you put in there, it kind of raises your profile online and makes it easier for search engines to find you. So that's like on the technical side. That's why you really want to get your name out there. And that's why my blog is on my name, not the name of my book. And that's the authors.
Mm-hmm.
Put your blog in your name, because you might just have this one book now, but you may write others down the line. And it's not just about the book. I mean, certainly the book will be a big part of your blog, but don't name your blog for your book. And that way you can grow and expand, and you can add different categories and pages to it. So, yes.
We're talking about social media. You're doing a lot of seminar, and you're teaching
people
how to blog, how to go to the Facebook, how to tweet. I mean, just what you do in the seminar.
And you also provide the service as well.
Yeah, absolutely. As a matter of fact, I was telling you before we went on the air, I just finished up a project for a woman who's very well-known. She's a very well-known author, speaker. She travels all over the world. Very intelligent woman. And she was referred to me through a mutual friend because she said to me, I don't understand social media. I know I need to be on it. Can you please fix my Facebook page, my LinkedIn page, my Google Plus page, you know, several different platforms that she was on, and she gave me all of her current information. She said, can you update my bio? Can you add these photos? Can you? And she said, I just, you know, just busy. I know this is important, but I don't want to be bothered with it.
Right.
Well, she didn't quite say it like that.
But you're doing a seminar.
So I provide that service for people like her. But if somebody comes to me and they say, I want to learn how to do this, I'm finding through these experiences, or I found through my experiences, that there are so many really smart people out there who just are busy with their careers, and they know that this is important, but they don't have the time to, like, muddle through it the way I did 5 years ago.
They also could be a little intimidated by the whole thing and how it's all connected and how...
Especially
what if you
Twitter,
make a mistake and you make the mistake and it's blasted so across the world?
Yeah, exactly.
I need to share a secret with you. Nobody listen. You know?
Okay, no one listens.
No one
listens.
I'm very not a technical person, and for me, the social media, I was really intimidated. And when Daria teach me what to do, the way she explained to me, the way she guide me one step at a time, even I now know what to do. I'm not a Twitter yet because we didn't talk about Twitter yet.
Yeah.
I was very frustrated. I didn't know what to do. You know, I don't understand. And she was very, very patient. I saw she was very tired, but even so, I said, let me show you. And the end of there, it was a very short period of time, and I was so surprised that when you left, I said, Eureka, I know what to do. And I'm still, it's very, very important. When you don't know, you don't have an access, if you don't know what you're supposed to do, it's very important that the person teaching you, give it a seminar, know the business.
And not only if I might share as well, I mean, I'm not scared of technology, but there's some of it's so new, and it changes all the time.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so it is hard to keep up with it and just kind of know what to do. And my experience with you, Daria, has been amazing. It's just been real simple. Because I'm very comfortable with it already, and you tell me, go here, go there, and I'm like, oh, okay.
No, but,
so you're very user-friendly, very much so.
No, and because you know what you're doing, and because you know how to explain, because you experienced, you knew how to guide me, and you know how to guide. You don't need to guide Chish, you know what you're talking about. you know how to approach, and it was amazing. That's why I think the people taking your seminar, they're going to be very benefit for your knowledge. That's if somebody wants to go to the seminar, how they can find you?
Well, you know, the best way to contact me is really to go to my blog, dariadigiovanni.com, and you'll see a contact link at the top, and you just click on that and fill that in, and it'll go right to my email, and just send me your information, and I'll get in touch with you. That's really the easiest way to do it.
And the price is very reasonable, so you don't be afraid. She's very reasonable. She's the best, and if you need help with the social media, contact with Daria.
And we don't even have to be in person. I mean, I can train people no matter where they are. That's the beauty of technology. And we can do one-on-one. I can do group classes also. So.
Okay, well, we're going to take a really quick break. Okay, once again, if you have a question, if you have a book, you have an idea that's stuck in your brain and you need somebody to uncork you, call in at 347-945-7246. And we'll be right back after these messages.
Monday afternoons at 1 o'clock Eastern on the Right Stream Radio Network. Tune in to Military Monday with host John D. Gresham, author, military historian, and journalist. John delves into a unique aspect of U.S. military history, as well as current events and issues affecting our men and women in uniform. Featuring exceptional guests, military experts, and authors, Military Monday with John D. Gresham entertains, informs, and encourages listeners to support those who put it all on the line for freedom. Military Monday with John D. Gresham, Monday afternoons at 1 o'clock Eastern on the Right Stream Radio Network.
Remember Humpty Dumpty and his great fall? Is it possible that we all have a lot in common with him? Could he have removed his propensity to go splat? Is there anything we can do to remove our own fault lines? Stephen Lewis, the developer of a 24/7 self-healing technology, the AIM program of energetic balancing, believes that in the absence of fault lines, Humpty would have just gotten banged up, a little dirty, requiring a little detailing rather than be put back together. Instead, he broke where he was programmed to age. But unlike Humpty, we can heal our fault lines, remove our potentials for disease instead of counting on others to diagnose or treat our symptoms. How? Visit aimprogram.com. Get Stephen's book, Sanctuary, The Path to Consciousness, and join the thousands worldwide who are changing their programming and becoming the first in the history of their family with no family history.
We're back. It's Family Power Hour, Wednesday, 8 p.m., and we have a great guest, a special guest today, Daria. And we started to talk about social media, and Sheena, you mentioned about
promoting yourself, promoting your ideas, and what you get
and
to
Facebook.
Do on Facebook
yes.
and all these different social medias.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, Facebook, what's interesting, a lot of people, I find when I train people, there's a lot of confusion between a personal Facebook page and a quote-unquote fan page, which is really a business page. Facebook calls it a fan page, which I kind of don't like that terminology, but that's what they call it. And they require that you have a personal profile before you can even have a fan page. So all of that to say, I recommend that if you have a business that you're trying to promote or a book that you're trying to promote, whatever it is, that you should create a Facebook fan page, which is strictly more for business. And that can be like your professional, where you're really engaging with whoever your audience is.
And you can have more than one.
Yes.
Fan.
Oh, you have several.
Fan
yeah.
Page, yes.
Absolutely. Like, for example, I mean, we created the Right Stream Radio Network page, and then you guys have your Family Power Hour page separate from that, although we promote everybody's show on the one, but
right.
you guys have your own, which is great, because then you can post articles of interest to your listeners based on the topics you're discussing on your shows, and it just increases your profile. But the key with any fan page, again, is posting information. I find asking questions is a really great way to get engagement.
Why is it important to get a like pushed? Why is it important to get likes?
It's a perception, I think.
Okay.
The more likes, if people see you have 10,000 likes, they must well think. It's like that social proof thing. Yeah, social proof theory, like, wow, this must be happening. And I am a big fan. Like, Facebook has this thing where you can pay for followers. I do not recommend that on Facebook or Twitter.
Sometimes it's a scam.
It's a scam,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
I recommend organic followers, and that means the way to do that is to ask your friends to like the page, to keep providing content that's going to keep people coming back. Ask questions. That is awesome. Like, if I post an article about something on my author page,
mm-hmm.
I'll say, what do you think about this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and try to get people talking. And then, of course, then that negates, that necessitates you being able to answer or having your social media person monitoring and engaging with that person. But yeah, I mean, it's really crucial. I mean, like, with all of our shows that we do on the Right Stream page, I create events for everybody's show and invite
mm-hmm.
people. And the more you keep doing that over time, the more people will start to see the consistency, and we'll grow the audience that way.
But even though
network,
you need
so.
To know how to do this, because people get tired if you get something all over and over, and that's why you need you as an expert.
Yeah.
That we're talking about the Right Stream Radio, and you're the founder of Right Stream Radio. So
yes.
What made you decide to?
So that means she's our boss, ladies.
What we're doing right now is a form of social media. Mm-hmm. Internet radio is very big. Blog Talk Radio, I got involved with it in 2008, but it's been around even longer than that. And it's, again, what we're doing now is kind of similar to what you would do on a Facebook page, where you're sharing information. Like, for example, your show, you know, when you talk about different topics like cyberbullying, you're sharing information that's going to be useful to parents and to your audience, but hopefully it's sort of like an indirect marketing tool where as people get to know you week in and week out, maybe somewhere along the line, if somebody needs a family law attorney, they're going to remember Sheena because they listen to our show.
Mm-hmm.
Or if somebody
yeah.
needs counseling, maybe one of their kids does, they're going to remember Dr. Billy because they've been listening to your show. That is part of it. I mean, we're engaging right now with what we're doing. So I started the Right Stream Radio Network in March with the idea that I wanted to appeal to as many different tastes and interests as possible. So my friend Lisa Tarvez, who is a metaphysician and a holistic healer, she's into the Reiki healing.
And she's on Sunday.
She's on Sunday.
How many
yeah.
shows do we have in all?
We
Four.
Have right now, well, we have Just Believe.
Yeah.
And we have, actually, we're up to five. We have Just Believe Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
We have Military Monday with John D. Gresham, who is a military historian, author, and a game designer.
Yeah, go ahead.
We have Right Stream Tuesday, where I interview authors in a variety of genres. We've got Family Power Hour, and we've got Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss.
Mm.
And we are looking to add a tech show, a technology show, on Saturdays.
Yeah.
But ladies, I have to say, Lisa and I talked about it, and we said, you know, we probably need another male host to kind of balance this out a little bit.
All
so,
right.
We're looking for a male host for that show.
Say something about Lisa. What's her show? What's she talking about?
Yeah,
well,
Lisa's the author of the book Just Believe, and on her show, she deals, all aspects of spirituality, from the paranormal. I mean, she's interviewed ghost hunters that have made my hair stand on edge, like, listening to it. She's interviewed Yeah, very like ghost hunters and people that communicate with angels. She's had psychic readings on the air for people that want to call in. But then she's also interviewed, she had a woman on, Dr. Virginia Swanson, talking about the diabetes diet. And it's like a holistic approach to managing diabetes by what you eat.
Mm-hmm.
So she covers like pretty much the gamut of different things having to do with overall health and wellness. John, of course, Military Monday deals a lot with historical events, things that are going on. This past week, he actually interviewed somebody from the Special Ops Warrior Foundation, and it's an organization. He shows on Monday at 1 p.m.,
yeah.
And he interviewed this charity. Basically, what they do is they get scholarships for the children of deceased Special Ops Forces members. So John kind of covers the gamut of history, military. Very interesting guy. He's been on many. If you ever turn on the History Channel or Military Channel, you'll see him sometimes because he's a consultant. And he's like, we're thrilled to have him.
Yeah.
He loves what he's doing.
And you Tuesday?
I'm Tuesday, and I interview authors in a variety of genres. And yesterday I had somebody on that does horror. And that's not the kind of book I would read. But, again, trying to appeal to different tastes.
Right.
You know, so I brought – and his name was Ronan Crane. He was excellent. We had a really great interview. That was fun.
So in a way, Tuesday Write Stream mm-hmm. is like a resource for people who are interested in books or information.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We talk social media. We talk, you know, I always ask every author I bring on about what they're doing to market their book. And because a lot of, you know, and it's true that writing can be a very solitary activity. Most writers tend to be introverted. I'm not, but a lot of them are. So we talk a lot about that. Like, what are you doing for social media? Do you do speaking? Like, one of my friends, Renee Gatz, you know, she's really into she's found success with her book by doing, like, a lot of speaking engagements for different associations, and she loves that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting, and the writing process is so different for everybody, so I always ask different authors about the writing process, and, you know, some are very disciplined. They schedule their writing time.
How do they find you?
It's funny. I'm on Twitter. There's a huge writers community on there and on Facebook. And it's just, again, the social media, it's sort of the connections that you're able to make.
Them or they contact you?
I usually contact them. I mean, I get to
know
people.
Follow her?
Yeah.
Follow them.
Billy, they stalk me online. They're like, I'm on my show.
And, of course, you have a very, very special show every Wednesday. 7 Easter time. So what is the show?
Family Power Hour.
Family Power Hour. So tell us about the show. What's the show about?
One day I met Dr. Billy for coffee just to catch up and talk. And as we were talking, I thought...
Don't reveal all the secrets.
Okay.
Why was that special? What's the show talking about? I mean,
I was thinking about the shows I already had lined up. And my goal was really to have 7 out of 7 days by the end of the year. So we're 5 out of 7. So
that's
not
bad. About a show.
So
family,
we needed experts in the field of psychology. And through Billy, you introduced me to Sheena. And I thought that would be a great combination. It can really cover a lot of topics with
like what?
People. Like, you talked about teen suicide and
I'm
going to
tell you what it's about.
What?
We're dealing with all the topics involved family, marriage, divorce, grief counseling, trauma, parenthood, children, money, alimony. What's he talking about more?
I don't know. What are we talking about?
We're talking about the good stuff in life. We're talking about people, about...
You know, and I have to say, this is a show about empowerment,
mm-hmm.
right? And it really is. And one of the things that I learned from you tonight is empowerment is being able to communicate. And so you can communicate through writing your own book. And that's a gift mm-hmm. that you can not only give yourself, you give the world. And now you're teaching us how to let the rest of the world know what you have to say. And I think that's a very empowering mm-hmm. part of...
Yeah, thank you so much for the meeting and opening me to do the show. And, of course, when I was thinking about the show, I was thinking about my very good friend, the best seminar ever, Sheena Benjamin Wise. What is your phone number, Sheena? I don't remember your phone number.
954-783-9737.
And, of course, we're talking about a lot of topics, and we try to give the community. So most of the topic was about bullying at school, suicide, human trafficking, the gay community, and all the problem.
People and family.
And we don't forget, I'm sorry, we have another show.
So
tell us about it.
We have Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss on Friday night at 7 p.m., which is just like a fun women's lifestyle show, just anything that's of interest to women. We just kind of envision a happy hour, pour a glass of wine at the end of a week. Whether we're talking about fashion or books or movies or Anything that's within, we're talking a lot, you know, now with the holidays coming up, a lot of it, you know, talking about just dealing with people who might be difficult and
family,
yeah,
and
you know,
fighting.
But not, yeah,
family, family's us.
So, but yeah, just anything that's of interest to women, like, you know, just career.
Just women?
Yeah, definitely a women's lifestyle show.
Okay.
Now, Saturdays, we are planning, and still in the planning stages, we're going to be adding a tech show to the network.
What's tech show?
Technology, like trends in technology. Part of it will involve social media.
Just promise me the person is going to be upbeat, because, you know, techies are kind of...
John is working on that for me, and I told him we need somebody with a personality.
I have a person for you after the show. I'm going to give it a nod. Any question that you want to ask us, Daria?
I have a question. I have a compliment. I just want to thank you so much because you have done a phenomenal job in such a short time. You just, what is it, August 28th?
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, you two are, like, naturals at this.
Oh, thank you.
And so, I mean, every week you have a really excellent topic. We've had great guests. It's been very informative, and I appreciate all the value you bring
into
the
anything you want to add?
Thank you so much for the compliment.
Yeah, to invite us to do next. With your experience, any good advice for us?
Yeah, keep doing what you're doing. I mean, keep getting those guests going. Keep creating events on Facebook. And
What we want to ask you, maybe one time, we're going to do the show, all of us, with Lisa, with
Kristen, Lisa's
Kristen,
daughter, yeah.
And will you, I think it's going to be great, one show, maybe the first week of the year.
Or the anniversary.
Yeah, all right.
Because
I listen to all the show. I mean, I try to listen, and all of that amazing. I mean, really amazing, and we can help each other.
Mm-hmm.
Let us tell you, next week our topic is the holiday. We invited all of you to tell us about what's the holiday for you, what you accomplish with your business with this holiday, what you plan for the holiday, and just
your fears, your anticipations, your what's next, right? Because not only is it the holidays for the end of the year, but it's the prospect of the new year.
I have a question for you. You think with the holiday people get divorced?
No, absolutely not. Nobody gets a divorce in the holidays. They wait till January.
Because I just want to, this is the first year that people start to call me before the holiday. The holiday can be a very stressful, a good time, a stressful time.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, really the first year, I don't know what's happening there.
Wow.
Maybe I need to ask Lisa. So we have Lisa on Sunday.
Sunday
what
at
time?
7 p.m.
7 p.m.
She moved to 7. I think I might have said 1 o'clock before, but it moved to 7 p.m.
All right. Lisa at 7 p.m. and John Grisham and?
Mondays, 1 p.m. Eastern. And
Daria?
1 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays. Family Power Hour, 7 p.m.
7 p.m.
Wednesday
and
night.
Friday.
Friday night, 7 p.m., Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss.
It's a new show. Please listen. It's an amazing show. I was listening to the last show. It was really fun. It was amazing.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you so much, everybody.
Joining us tonight.
Listen for our next Wednesday and go to the Facebook. Like us. Just like us. And I'm Dr. Billy Eisenberg. I'm your host, 561-271-7106.
And I'm Sheena Benjamin Wise, your wisest choice in family law, 954-783-9737.
And Daria, thank you so much.
Thank
it was
you,
really
lady.
Fun. And
it was
you should
blast.
Come again. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.